Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayom Yeshvuos Chaf Ches. We begin on Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. We know that one can undo a Shvua by going to the Chacham, by going to the Bezdin, doing Hataras Nadarim or Hataras Shvuos, regretting and undoing, uprooting the entire commitment. Is there any deadline to doing so? Is it ever too late? Amar Rava, listen to this. Nishba al kikar. He swore to abstain from a loaf of bread. Va'achla, and he ate it. Now he wants to undo the entire oath to retroactively do away with his transgression of that oath. Can he do so? Well, it depends. Is there anything left of that loaf of bread to speak of? Im shir mimena kezayis? If there's even a kezayis amount of that bread left over, that's substantial enough to do a hataras nadarim, nishal oleha. You can go and undo the nether, the shvua. And by doing so, wipe away his sin retroactively. However, if there's nothing left, achla kula. If he ate the entire thing, there is no object to speak of. There's no focal point. No point of reference. You can't do she'ela. It's too late. It's gone. Ein nishal aleha. So as long as there's a kazayis, there's something left over to speak of, to discuss, to do she'ela on. And that she'ela has a lachic validity. It undoes the entire oath retroactively. But there's nothing left over. It's too late. Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav l'Ravashi. Let's try to understand this halacha and the distinction between leftover of a kazayis and leftover nothing. Hey chedami, what happened? Ida omar shlo eichel. What term did he use when he committed himself initially? I'm not going to eat, which means even a kazayis is asr. Well, it's too late for that. Mi kazayis kama avdil yisure. Once he ate the initial kazayis, sure, there's leftover, but he already did his isr. Avdil yisure. How could he undo that? Avdil yisure. Ida omar shlo eichel. No. Okay, he promised not to eat the entire loaf. So then, in any case, he's not yet liable. He hasn't finished eating that loaf. Even if there's a drop left over, he's still safe. My iria kezayis, why require a kezayis to be left over? Afilu kol shunam, even a drop would qualify. He hasn't yet transgressed his shvua. Of course he can go to the rav and undo the shvua. Iba yisei meshalei yecheil. Iba yisei meshalei yecheil. No, you know what? It can go either way. Iba yisei meshalei yecheil. One option is that he, in fact, said, I'm not going to eat. Eating means even a shear of a kazayis, of this bread. As to your question, well, it's too late, he already had a kazayis. The answer is, as long as there's still a kazayis left over, we say, migu, since the mahanyala she'ela, kazayis basra, since the she'ela process is applicable and is effective with respect to this last remaining kazayis, which is an amount which qualifies for an act of achila. So it serves as a point of reference for the she'ela with the rav. It's pertinent. It's relevant. It's important to. It has a lot of ramifications. There's a kazayis that could be eaten by isser. So the she'ela on this kazayis has legal effect. So if it's activated as per this kazayis, mahani la she'ela, namei kazayis kamo. So once he did the she'ela and he undid the shvua, it retroactively uprooted the isser even with respect to the original kazayis that he already ate. Unbelievable. Or you can say that we're speaking that he promised not to eat the entire loaf. That was his shvua. As to your question, well then, even if there's a drop left over, he's still okay. The answer is no. Ishir kazayis. Chashiv lichuli alei. If there is a kazayis left over, that's chashiv. That has value, it has significance. It's something that it relates to an act of achila. Achila is bekazayis. So it has substance, it has significance. And allows she'ela to be done on it. Chashiv lichuli alei. But if it's less than a kazayis, lesson of gazayas has no significance regarding, you know, forbidden foods. So it has no substance, it has no significance. L'chashav l'trulei, you can't just make she'ela on a crumb. You know, the chacham, the bezin, they have the power to do ataras nadarim or she'ela on shvua. If it relates to some halachic, you know, act, right? So, yeah, if there's a kazayis left over, so they can relate to that and say, well, okay, we're going to undo the isser and it's mutter. But if it's less than a kazayis, it has no significance. And I cannot really accept the process of she'ela of ataras nadarim. So again, Rava teaches us an interesting point where a person made Isra on a loaf of bread, he ate. He ate lots of it. And he regrets the entire thing. He says, you know what? Instead of bringing a carbon for eating this unintentionally, let me just undo the entire process retroactively. Can he do so? Yeah. As long as there's some left over in a way which allows for a she'ela. Meisvei comes a kasha. So we had this halacha somewhat yesterday with the double, you know, nazir commitment. Misha nadar shtei nazirus. He said, I'm a nazir. And he said, again, I'm going to be a nazir. So really, he's meant to do 30 days, followed by 30 days. Umana rishoina, right? Vivishalei karbon. He counted the first 30 days. He designated a karbon. And then he had his regrets. V'achakach nishal al rishon. He went to undo the first nazirus commitment. So now that's undone. What happens to this entire 30-day experience with all the effort involved? Does it just dissipate? No, no. It can be transferred. It can be redirected and relabeled and posted to the account of the second commitment. Also, Leshniya B'Rishayin, so the second commitment, now sort of steps into the footsteps, into the shoes, so to speak, of the first Nazirus, which has now been vacated. So basically, that experience can now be transferred and relabeled as Nazirus number two, and he has fulfilled his commitment. And the question is, there's nothing left. It's done. He finished his 30 days. How could he go now and undo it by going to the Rav and regretting it? It's done. He already experienced it in full. The answer is, the process has not yet been fully completed. He hasn't yet brought his karbonai, so process is still pending, which allows for she'ela. But Tanya Kippur, the Brisa says he did bring karbonis. You're right, shalei gileach. But he hadn't yet shaved his hair, and that's a critical, you know, component of the purification process. And until he does that, he hadn't concluded his nazirus. V'atani gileach, but the Brisa says he did shave. Sorry, v'shalikach v'rblezer, going to v'rblezer. D'amat t'glachas ma'akvo. He says shaving is critical for the process. Until you do that, you haven't yet concluded. V'atani gileach, but the Brisa does say that he shaved. So once he brought the karbanis and he shaved, it's a done deal. What are you undoing? How could you go and retroactively cancel something which is done? Amar of Ashi, Nazirus Karamis, are you asking from a fellow who became a Nazir? It's a totally different experience. Look, Mi Goram L'Shniya Shloi Tochel, Rishayna. What prevented the second Nazirus experience, the second commitment from being activated? Rishayna, the fact that he obligated to the first process. Veina, it's gone, it's vacated, it's out of the way. Meaning, we're not trying to create, you know, something from nothing, you know, yesh ma'ayin. We're not trying to eradicate that 30-day experience. We're trying to relabel it. He was really chayiv to do the second Nazirus from day one, but he couldn't yet get to it until he finishes the first 30 days. But he was really personally obligated to fulfill the second Nazirus right away, if there would be a practical way of doing so. So now that it turns out that he undid that first commitment by going to the Rav and regretting it, fine. So the first commitment's out of the way. But the experience, we're not eradicating that. We're not trying to undo that. You're right. To undo something that had already been done, it's too late. If it's already after the process. Here, we're keeping it in place. We're just removing the first commitment and relabeling those days and redirecting that experience and posting it towards the second Aziris. That's fine. Ameymar Omar. Ameymar disagrees with Rabba. Rabba who said that regarding the Shvua, you need to have something left over to allow for She'ela. Afilo achla kula nishal aleha. No, even if you ate the entire loaf, She'ela can still work. Why? Because ultimately, the process is still pending. He didn't finish the process. Because if he ate it unintentionally, which triggers a chiyuv karbon, mechusar karbon. He still hadn't brought his karbon, so the process is still pending. He b'mezid, if it was done b'mezid, mechusar malchus. He's still pre-malchus, so the process is still pending, which allows for a she'el. But certainly, aval kafsu ala amud, if he was bound to the post in preparation for the malchus application, loy, at that point it's too late, the malchus application is considered like it has already been done. Why are you saying that? Because the Shmuel, as we recall the aloch of Shmuel back in Maseches Makis, Damar Shmuel, kafsu ala amud v'rotz mi'bezn. He was bound to the post in preparation for the Malchus, and he did a, Houdini job, and he slipped down, he escaped from the Bezdin. Potter is exempt from further Malchus, because it says, v'niklo chichalei necha, as long as he was embarrassed, he went through a very embarrassing process, that's sufficient. We learn from there that even at this early point, when he was simply bound to the post, it is deemed punishment received. So at that point, it's too late to undo the entire Shvua, he transgressed, he got punished, it's done. But at this point, the Gemara takes issue, but it's incorrect. Hasam Ratz, Shmuel's case, where he's exempt, is only because he had to slip away and escape. And that was a very embarrassing experience, running away from the, right? So that's equatable to Malchus. Hachalei Ratz, here he wasn't subject to that embarrassment. He didn't run away, he was merely bound to the post. At this early stage, we do not consider it as though his punishment has already been applied. So it's still early in the game, so to speak, in which case the process is still pending, and it would allow him to go to the Rav and to the Bezin, regret the entire oath, the entire Shvua, the entire Isser, and perhaps retroactively exempt himself and absolve himself from punishment. Okay, so just to recap for a second, we have Rav's Chiddush, Shvua and a kicker, and when he ate, he wants to do She'ela to undo it? Well, it depends. If there's something left over, if there's a Kazayas, fine. Otherwise, not. We explained that it could apply to either type of, either term, whether he said Shalei Oichel or Shalei Echlan. Either way, the remaining Kazayas allows for She'ela going forward and retroactively, even if there was Isser committed, the whole thing gets undone retroactively. But certainly, once he's completed, there's nothing left over. You can't do She'ela at this point. What about by the Nazir case, which allows for Shayla even at a late point in the game? Well, the Gemara said it's different because we're not really undoing the experience, we're just relabeling the experience. Rav Ashi adds another Chiddush. He says, Rav Meimar. He says, well, even by Shvua, even if the entire thing is gone, you can still go ahead and do Shayla. As long as the punishment process is still pending, whether it's before the carbon or before the malchus, so as long as it's uncompleted, you can go ahead and do she'ela and undo the issa retroactively. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav. So here we have a case of a fellow with two loaves of bread, lechem mishneh, and he stipulates a shvua as follows. Look, if I eat this one, I will not eat that one. So let's call them A and B. Okay, if I have A, that's called the tanai, the bread on which the condition was cast upon. That's called the tanai, the conditioned bread. If I eat A, I shall not eat B. So if he eats A, it triggers, it activates the Isser upon loaf B. So that's called the Isser loaf. A is the Tanai, B is the Isser. Shvo shaloy oichal kikar zu, I will not eat B im oichal zu if I will eat A. And what happened? V'achal sarishoyna b'shoigig. Now, before we begin, we're meant to recall the halacha we learned a couple of days ago. The pasuk, and describing the shvua violation, uses the term ha'adam b'shvua. Right? So he was a man. He was fully there. He's fully cognizant. That's the drasha of the Gemara. He's fully cognizant when he was involved in violating the establishing the shvua and ultimately violating it. So although he violated it, you know, b'shoigeg, not realizing that in fact it had become usur, but at least while he's saying it, while he's establishing, while he's activating the isur, he has to be fully there, fully cognizant, fully in tune to what's going on. Now, in this case, at what point does the shvua get activated? So Rashi explains, as soon as he eats that first loaf of bread, that activates the shvua. He's not fully there. He's not fully aware of what he's doing. He's not cognizant of the consequence of his action. That in fact, this is part of the shvua activation process. Then there's no liability. There's no chiv of karban, b'shoigig, etc. So back to our story. I will keep away from loaf B if I indeed consume loaf A. Okay, now, v'achal sarishoyna b'shoigig. He went and he ate loaf A, which is the t'nai bread, inadvertently, not realizing that in fact he had even made this deal and, you know, then he proceeded to eat loaf B, lechem mishnah, knowing, he recalled that in fact he had established a shvua upon it. Is he chayev? You would think, yeah, because he kept his condition, he kept his tana, he activated the system by eating loaf A, following with loaf B, which is the isra loaf, potter. No, he's potter because while eating loaf A, which in effect activated the whole system, he was unaware. He was not ha'adam b'shvua. He wasn't in tune to what's going on, and therefore he's potter. What about in the reverse? Rishayna b'mezid, ushniya b'shoigig. When he ate the first loaf, he realized that by eating that loaf, he's going to be activating the isser, the shvua, upon loaf B. And in fact, he ate loaf B, ushniya b'shoigig, not realizing that in fact it had already become usser. So in this case, certainly, he's chayef to bring a karban. Shtein b'shoigeg, potter. If he ate both of them inadvertently, and Rashi explains, it doesn't really matter which one first, which one second. Since he did it without realizing what's going to happen here, he is potter. Shtein b'mezit. What if he ate them both knowingly? Is he chayef malchus? So when one violates a shvua b'mezit, he gets malchus. He ate both b'mezid, loaf A, knowing that it's going to trigger the isra and loaf B, and then loaf B as well, he did b'mezid. So now, it really depends on which order. Achle l'tno'e v'hador achle l'isurei. If first was loaf A, which is the t'nai bread, and that activated the isra and loaf B, and then he ate loaf B, which is the isra bread, b'mezid, of course, mechayev. He gets malchus. Because it triggered the Isser on loaf B, and then he ate it, b'mezid. Malchus. What about in the reverse? Achle l'Isurei, v'hador achle t'na'ei. First he had loaf B, which is the Isser bread. But it's not yet Isser. It's sort of a pending Isser, awaiting the Isser being activated by eating loaf A. V'hador achle l'Isurei, and then he ate loaf A. So while he ate loaf B, he knew what he was doing. And he was warned, in effect, that he's about to take a risk. He's getting involved in a risky situation because if, in fact, he completes the process by eating loaf A, which triggers the Isser retroactively on loaf B that he already ate, he'll be chayev malchus for eating loaf B. But the truth of the matter is that when they warned him on loaf B, it was like we said, a pending situation. It wasn't confirmed usher yet. The usher only happens once he eats loaf A. So is he chayv malchus? That's called hasra'a safek. The warning contained an element of uncertainty to it. So in fact, it's a machlekes, whether hasra'a safek takes effect and makes him liable. Plukta between Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish that we had back on Daf Gimel. L'madam hasra'a safek shma hasra'a. If you hold that it's considered a proper warning, that's Rabbi Yechon and Shita, okay, so he's liable. Amand Amar Lav Shema Asra, according to Rish Lakish, is not considered a warning. Potter, so he's potter. So at this point, we discussed merely four cases. Four out of a bunch more that are coming up. So this was a fairly simple scenario where it was a one-way deal. If I eat this loaf, it's going to trigger Isser on the other loaf. He ate the first one, b'shoigeg, not realizing that in fact it's triggering the isra on the other one, and the second one he ate b'mezid, he's potter. He ate the t'nai loaf, b'mezid, knowing that it's going to trigger the isra, and then he followed with eating the isra loaf, loaf b, b'shoigeg, he brings a carbon. Both b'shoigeg is potter. Both b'mezid, it depends in what order. T'nai first, followed by isra, that's malchus. Isser first, followed by Tanai, that's a retroactive application of the Isser. That depends on your opinion regarding Hasra'as Safek. Now comes a case which is similar, but a bit more complicated. Instead of just a one-way linkage, it's a two-way deal. If I eat loaf A, loaf B will be Isser. And likewise, if I eat loaf B, loaf A will be Isser. Okay, continues the Gemara. Talon zubazu. He tied them to each other in a two-way deal. Lo yechal zu. I will not eat loaf B im yechal zu if I eat loaf A. But likewise, lo yechal zu. I will not eat loaf A im yechal zu if I eat loaf B. And then he ate both of them. So in the first case, we have v'achal zu bezadon atzmo. So he ate, you know, let's say loaf A. Bezodain atzma ubeshigas chaverta, with an element of awareness, coupled with an element of unawareness. So what did he know? He knew that this one is liable to be usher, if in fact I'm going to eat the other one and activate the isra on this one. That he knew. Ubeshigas chaverta. What he didn't realize, what he forgot at that point, was that by eating this loaf A, he's going to trigger the isra on the neighboring loaf. And he did the same with the next loaf. Vizu proceeded to the next loaf, again with the same mindset, realizing only half the consequence. Vizad and Atzma, knowing that that loaf would be Asr if in fact he ate loaf A and triggered the Isra on loaf B. Ubishigas Chaverta, but not realizing that by eating loaf B, he is triggering the Isra upon loaf A. So here we're lacking in awareness at the point of trigger, at the point of activation. On both loaves, he was lacking awareness that that loaf would trigger the isra on the other loaf. So he's potter. He's totally potter. What if it's just the opposite? Zu, when he ate the first loaf, b'shigas atzma, he did not realize that it in itself can be an item of isra, but he did realize, ubazad in chaverta, that by eating it, he's going to trigger, he's going to activate an isra on the neighboring loaf. And he did the same exact thing with the next loaf. Vizu b'shigas atzma, not realizing that in itself can be an item of yisr potentially. Ubezad in chaverta, but yes, realizing that eating the second loaf triggers the yisr on the first loaf. So what happens in this case? It says the Gemara chayev. He's chayev, as Rashi explains, only on the second loaf. Right? Because when he ate the first loaf, realizing that that act will trigger the Isser upon the second loaf, and then he eats the second loaf, not realizing that it's Isser, he needs to bring a carbon. However, he will not have to bring a carbon upon eating the first loaf. Because when he ate that first loaf, it was still premature, it was still before the Isser had arrived on that first loaf, which only happens when he eats the second loaf. And since when he ate the first loaf, he was unaware. Right? And Rashi goes with the mindset, with the opinion, that actually, that it's the first loaf that really is the main trigger point, the main criterion is, what did he have in mind when he ate that first loaf? And if at that point he was not aware, Shigigas Atzma, unaware that that item would be Asr, it's lacking in focus, it's lacking in awareness, it's lacking in Ha'adna Bishvua, in which case there's no Chiv upon eating that first loaf. So the Chiv is strictly for the second loaf. What if he ate them both fully in the dark? Shtein B'Shoigig. First, second loaf, not realizing anything about them. Of course he's Pater. This certainly is lacking in Ha'adam B'Shvua. What if he ate them both B'Meizit? Fully aware of all aspects of this process. Shtein B'Meizit. So again, he ate the first one knowing that it's going to become Asr upon eating the second one, and knowing that that first one will trigger the Isra on the second one. And he did the same again with the next loaf. Shtein B'Meizit. So what's the result? Ashniya Mechayiv. Certainly he gets Malkus upon eating the second loaf. But Mezit, having realized that it had been considered Asr as a result of the first one being eaten. But Arishayna, what about the status of the first loaf? Does he get Malkus upon eating that? He knew what he was doing. But let's recall that it was only a retroactive Isr. Because when he ate that first loaf, at that point it wasn't yet Asr. It was a pending Isser, awaiting the consumption of the second loaf, which will trigger the Isser back on the first loaf retroactively. That's your classic Hasra'as Safek. A warning, a Hasra with an element of uncertainty. That connects back to the Machloikis, Plukta, Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, whether or not Hasra'as Safek counts. Okay, so to summarize these cases, we have two loaves. In this case, it's a two-way deal. Loaf A is, in reality, an Isser, in potential, and also a Tanai, because by eating it, he's going to trigger the Isser on Loaf B. Likewise, Loaf B is Isser and Tanai. Isser in a sense that if he eats Loaf A, Loaf B becomes Isser. Tanai in a sense that by eating Loaf B, it triggers the Isser back on Loaf A. If he ate Loaf A, knowing that it's going to be Isser, but not realizing that it's going to make a Tanai on Loaf B. And likewise, Loaf B, he was mazed with respect to its own potential Isser, but not realizing that by eating it, it's going to trigger back the Isser on Loaf A. In this case, since he was unaware that each loaf was really a trigger point for the next one, he's Pater. What if he didn't realize that it in itself would be an item of Isser, but did realize that it's going to trigger an Isser on the next loaf? He did the same thing with Loaf B. In this case, he's Chayav Malkus upon eating Loaf B. Both b'shoigig is pater, both b'mezid. So upon loaf B is chayiv malchus. Upon loaf A, well, that's a machlekes, because it's a retroactive, willful iser, which runs us into the question of asra safek, shma asra or not. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Mari, what's Rav's main point? What was the main lesson of this whole discussion? That one must be aware and cognizant when he triggers the Isser. Otherwise, you're lacking in Ha'adam Bishvur. Says Rav Mari, I can prove this very point from a Mishnah. Afanana mitanina, we have a Mishnah, Mesechus Nedarim, Arbo Nedarim, Tiruch Hacham. There are four versions of Nedar, which are really permissible, because his expression in these cases are not to be taken seriously. They're not real. Nidre Zeruzni, which is trying to get things moving, get things going. Did we have vay? Just exaggerating. Did we shgogos? Another expressed with unawareness. And nidre einsin, if he was forced to do it. Okay, nidre shgogos ketsa. We're going to focus on shgogos. Let's have an example of a nether of shoygig. Kainam, this item should be usher to me like a carbon. Off limits to me. Imachalti v'mashesisi. If in fact I had breakfast today, if I ate, if I drank. V'niska shachal v'shasa. And it slipped his mind, really. He forgot that he ate and drank. Or sha'ani oichel There's a Girsa Shani Oichel V'Shani Shoyse. Or it relates to the future. I will keep away from this item. I'm making a koinim and neder if in fact I, you know, eat later on, I drink later on. And then he forgot about his commitment, he forgot about his deal. Shochach v'achol v'shas, and he had a meal. These constitute nidrei shgogos. He didn't mean what he said. It was a mistake in terms of having forgotten that he had already eaten. Or in the second case, when he ate later on, it's not considered activation of the nether because he had forgotten his deal. So in both cases, he's totally mutter. But Tani Elon, the Bryce explains upon this Mishnah that this idea extends to Shavu'ah as well. Nether is an Isra on the item. Shavu'ah is limiting the person from doing certain activities. So the same idea applies to a Shavu'ah. But Tani Elon, Kashem Shenidre Shkogah is mutter. Just like the concept of Shogig mitigates the nether effect, Kach Shvuos, Shkogos Mutaris, likewise in a Shvuah context. Now, let's have an example. Shvuos, Shkogos Yechidam. Give me an example of a Shogig by a Shvuah. Lav Kai Gav, Neshmamino. Apparently, it's relating to these stories we just discussed earlier. I swore about something pending a certain act that I will do or will not do, and then I forgot that, in fact, I made that commitment, and I proceeded with that act. Shall we say that it triggers the Shvuah process? The answer is no, since I was not aware during that trigger point. So this fully supports Rava's concept that an Adam B'Shvuah preempts this type of activation. There was a story about a person named Eifa. Eifa, he studied the halachas of Shvuahs, Tani Shvuahs by Rabba, in the Beis Medrash of Rabba. So he was an expert in Shvuahs, and then he met up with his brother. Pogave Avimi, his brother, met up with him. He says, okay, Achba, his brother, he says, you're an expert in Shvuahs. I happen to have some good questions for you in halachos of Shvuahs. Amalei, he says like this. Let's start with the first question. Shvuah shlo yechalti. I swear that I did not eat. Turns out he did eat. Shvuah shlo yechalti, and repeats the same thing again. So again and again, he swears falsely, consecutively. Now we all know that ein shvuah chalal shvuah. I will not eat. I will not eat. I will not eat. How many liabilities? How many chiyuv mother? Just one. We had this in the Mishnah the other day. You can't land one shvuah on top of the other. So he was sort of testing him regarding this case. Do we apply that concept here as well or not? Do you think it's the same exact thing? Right? You can't duplicate shvuahs. No. So he asked him, what is the halach? Amalei. So in fact he responded, Eina chayv ala achas. He's only chayv once. You can't duplicate, you can't double up, shvuos. Omer Leh, he says, Ishtabash, making a grave mistake. This is very different. This isn't a shvuos bitui, where I'm committing to do something or not to do something. You can't duplicate that, you can't double that up. Once you're committed, that's it. But here it's a shvuos sheker. It's a false oath. He's misrepresenting a past event. So, you say it once, you lied. You say it again, you're lying again. You say it 10 times, you lie 10 times. You chayv for each one separately. Hare yatza, shvu l'sheker. Every expression is a separate false oath. Of course, he's chayv separately for as many times as he said it. Okay, now he asked him the next question. Shvu shel eichal teishav eser mahu. I swear not to eat 9 rolls. I swear not to eat 10. What would you say in this case? Mahu. What if he eats all 10? Is he chayev one shvuah or chayev for 2? So this time he figured, okay, I'm going to get it right. Separate commitments, separate shvuahs. Amalei chayev al kolachas v'achas. He's chayev for transgressing the first shvuah upon eating the first 9 rolls of bread. And then by eating the 10th one, he violated the second shvuah, the separate independent commitments. Amalei, so this time he said, no, it's the opposite. Shtabash, making a mistake again. This time, he should have said he's only chayiv one. You know why? Because there's very serious overlap here. Because you can't get to 10 without going through 9, and 9 is already committed on account of the first shvuah. So you can't say the second shvuah, prohibiting him from 10, is a separate entity. Because you have to go through, you have to traverse the first shvuah to get there. So there's very significant overlap. Hence, it's not a separate, independent commitment. He eats 9, lo yachal, 10 lo yachal. If he doesn't eat 9, he's not going to get to 10. So the shvua not to eat 10, which followed the shvua not to eat 9, is not a separate commitment. It's an overlap. It doesn't happen. It doesn't, you know, take effect. Okay, now he reversed the case. And he asked him again, what about shvua shlo yachal eser v'teisha? Mahu? I promise not to eat 10 latkes. I promise not to eat 9. Okay, so this time I figure I'm going to get it right again. Amr le in a chayev, ala achas. He's only chayev 1. So if he eats, you know, all 10, he only gets 1 isr. Amr le says, no, wrong again. Ishtabash. This time you're wrong, because if it was said this way, he started with 10, which is a bigger number. What he's saying, in effect, is I will not eat 10, but 9 I will. So when he goes ahead and he makes a shvur against 9, he's adding a whole new layer of commitment. I will keep away from 9 as well, which is not yet usur, as a result of the first shvur. So in fact, the second one did add another layer of isur, which was not there from the first shvur. Amalei ishtabasht, eser, hudloi achal, the first shvur prohibited him from eating 10. Hateshu miya achal, but he could have 9. Comes the second shvur, keeps him away from 9 too. So that's another isur. Amar Abaye, zimnen demishkach salada eifa. So the Abaye, however, I'll find you a case where eifa's ruling, which was that even in the case of 10 followed by 9, it only generates one isur, one liability. It will, in fact, hold true. There's an exceptional case. Kedemar, as per the halacha that we learned by Rabba, Dama Rabba, Shvur shelo ichal te'inu banav. The first shvur was keep away from figs and grapes. So if he eats figs and grapes, he transgresses the shvur, but only until he eats both of them, right? V'chaz Rama, he comes back and he says another shvur shelo ichal te'inu. This time he prohibits himself from figs. So if he eats figs alone, he's being over on the second shvur. In order to be in violation of the first shvur, he must have had figs and grapes. Figs alone are not considered. But in the second shvur, the iser was applied to merely figs. Okay, then he ate figs. V'chal te'inim, in violation of the second shvur, v'ifrish carbon. Ooh, what did I do? He set aside a carbon. So that accommodated, that addressed the violation pertaining to figs. That sort of off the record right now. Then he proceeds and adds grapes. So the question is there a new liability, a new chiv carbon? Because now he's already in violation, he's also in violation of the first shvua, not to have the figs and the grapes. So when he had only figs, he was being over on the second shvua only. Then when he followed with the grapes, you would think he's chayv also on account of the first shvua. The answer is no. Because once he was mafresh a carbon to address the violation of the second shvua, that sealed it. That sort of addressed it, solved it, mitigated it. It erased it off the record, so to speak. It's not an active violation anymore. So now you can't take that experience and apply it on account of the first shvur. It's like it doesn't exist anymore. So all he has is the grapes. And grapes is only half the story. In order to violate the first shvur, he must have figs and grapes. He doesn't have the figs anymore, they're gone. So havilu hanavim chatzi shir, so the grapes that he just ate is like a half the shir, half the item. There's no chiv on a chatzis shir. Here as well, says Abaye. So that's Abaye's. That's Rabba's classic case. We can apply the same system to the story of the 10 loaves with the 9 loaves. Hachinami going to Amar shvur shlo ichal eser. He swore not to eat 10. And he followed because of Amar another shvur shlo ichal teisha, would not have 9. So in order to violate shvur number 1, he must eat 10. When he eats 9, he has not yet violated shvur number 1, but he has violated shvur number 2. V'chal teisha, and he ate 9, he says, oi, I'm going to bring a carbon for that. Hefrish Karban. So the Karban sort of deactivates what he did. It can no longer count. It can no longer be applied and considered a violation of the first Shvuah. So even if he goes ahead and he eats a tenth, which is now considered a violation of the first Shvuah, not to eat tenth, v'achakach achal asiris, all he has is this one. Instead of being counted as number 10, it's like number 1. Because the other 9 no longer exists as far as the first Shvuah is concerned. Havila asiris chatzishir, so the 10th one is just a half an item. It's a particle of the full picture. V'achatzishir lemichayv, there's no chiv for chatzishir. So actually, he says Abaye, Eifa can be right in this case. That there's only one chiv. Okay, let's do a quick summary. We discussed at what point one can undo a shvua. You know, past what point is it considered, a bygone experience? According to Rava, as long as there's a kazayas left over, you can undo the isra of the entire bread. According to a memar, even if it's totally consumed, but there's still some outstanding issues regarding carbon and malchus, the process is at this point as yet incomplete, and you could undo it. Rava gave us a total of 10 cases regarding Lecha Mishnah, right? So in the first series of cases, it was a one-way deal. If I eat this one, that one becomes Aser. We had the various variations regarding Chi on Tor, Shogging and Mezid, and then we had what was followed by another series of cases where it was a two-way deal, and we discussed the various cases there and the respective consequences. And the underlying chiddush was that one must be aware when he has that first loaf, which is the initial step in activating the process, must be aware of what he's doing, must be aware that it's us or that it activates the isser. Otherwise, it's lacking in ha'adam b'shvua, and this was proven from a Mishnah in Nedarim as well. We concluded with the back and forth between the two brothers, Eifa and Avimi. Double shvua sheker certainly counts as a separate shvua. The 9 followed by 10, well, in that case, it's again only one chiyuv. However, if it's 10 and then followed by 9, in this case, if he goes ahead and eats 10, he's chayev on account of the first shvua, and as well as the second shvua. First shvua was only 9, the second shvua is 10, so when he gets all the way to 10, he has gone through the first shvua and the second shvua, unless he was mafresh a carbon in the middle, in which case it halts the process and limits it to only one chiyuv. All the best to you and atzlacha rab.